Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be, and welcome to the To Be show. My name is Barbara Hofmeister, and I am your host for today. And I bring you a great guest today, a very special guest. That's why we have a special show, out of the ordinary in our day and time, because I want to bring you a young lady that is very busy, and her name is Tavan Allen. I hope I said that right.
And you did, Papa.
Thank you. And Tavan is a great role model, also for me, a great role model, and I think for anybody, because she's a shining example of how you can create your life, or how we all can create our lives. Tavan was one of the first people to read my book, and to use it, and to implement it, and maybe she will tell you a little bit about the results she got. And also, I'm sure we're going to talk about her book, which is called On the Periphery of Death. I want to hear all about that. And I know that she today is, I don't even have the right word for it. You will hear for yourself, very alive and kicking and doing really great. So, Tavan, welcome to the To Be show.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm so excited to be here. Many thanks for the kind words. You know how I feel about you, lady. You are so special.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So tell us a little bit about your book. Let's start off with that, because I want to know what it's all about, because I know that you are so alive and kicking. And I've known you only that way. So what made you write a book called On the Periphery of Death?
Yes, Barbara. Well, I tell you, this is just, you know, really a touching and inspiring book. I really wanted to produce my first literary work, which is On the Periphery of Death. I really wanted it to be just a candid example of what actually leads someone into depression, and then also have it with create it with inspirational tones, and once someone actually decides to live and not die, and so that they can utilize it as a tool to pull some form of inspiration, whether they're in the depths of despair and or if they know someone who is struggling or a current victim of depression, to use it as a tool and a success story, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. And is it something that you have personally experienced?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Back in 2004, due to my depressive episode. It was work related, and so due to certain events and turn up events that happened on the job, it's what triggered me into what I would call a very depressive state. one in which really had me, I would say, almost backed up into a corner, questioning who I am and whose I am as a child of God and just as a lover of humanity. And then what I decided was I had an awakening. I had an awakening experience, and I decided that if I was going to turn this thing around, Barbara, I had to turn into Muhammad Ali, because I had to float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, in order to rediscover the true essence of me.
Mm-hmm. And what helped you to rediscover yourself, or to have the courage even to go there? Because I know it takes some courage.
Yes, Barbara. Courage is a very, very powerful word. It also took me tapping into that source. That source, I call him God. I say that he has many names, and I respect all religious faiths. However, I personally call him God. It took me just because I was very weak. I was very broken. I was in a very fragile state. And so I know within my own strength, I did not have the intestinal fortitude to summon everything that I needed to arise from this. I actually needed help. And it began with me rediscovering and reconnecting with God the Creator, and then also taking the necessary practical steps to reach out to medical professionals, to my friends, to my family and my loved ones, and that began me on the healing journey.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And tell us a little bit about what you do, because you are very active. You have your own radio show, but I know that you do things also outside of your radio show. And I know also that you have a new job and that you've been promoted very quickly twice, which I'm really proud of. It's like, you know, I mean, like I did it, but of course you did it yourself. And that's the amazing part. That's really nice. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I would love to, Barbara. And thank you so much for mentioning that. And you absolutely contributed to the space that I am in after, of course, reading your book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours. I went through the manual, and I actually went through, I would say, just a self-examining process from a goal perspective. And and I began to implement the tools and the instructions that you speak of in that fabulous book in my life personally, to sort of shift some things in my direction and in the right path, and doors began to open. It was, I would say, it was a miraculous experience. I currently now work for one of the biggest banking institutions in the world, actually, and I was recently promoted to the sales team, and I most definitely, you know, am very grateful for the opportunities, because it was only roughly 6.5 weeks ago before I got the previous promotion. So most definitely, you know, with just deciding to apply myself and just really stand out amongst my peers, the competition, and just really add value to the corporation, it's not going unnoticed. And so those doors and those opportunities are opening as a result of hard work, as a result of me taking responsibility for my life and choosing to be an asset to the corporation, to my team, and to those around me.
That is fantastic. I mean, I really like that, and I hope everybody heard it. She applied herself. She does everything in her power to excel at her work. And she wants to bring value to the company. I hope everyone heard that. She wants to bring value to the corporation, because you get paid for the value you bring to the marketplace, not for the hours you spend somewhere, you know. I know here in
Absolutely.
Germany we have some people, they go to work, they say, well, I spent 10 hours there yesterday. Yeah, but what did you get done, you know? I mean, what have you achieved that added value to the corporation, to the company, to the, you know, to the shop or whatever it may be? What value have you added to them? Because that's what you get paid for, not for the hours that you spend there.
I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree with you more, Barbara.
Thank you. Yeah, I heard that first from Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn always said that you get paid for the value you bring to the marketplace.
Yes.
And he explained that. When I heard him say that, this is many years ago, when I heard him say it the first time, I didn't quite get it, you know, what did he mean this value? But he, of course, he means the value that you produce in the time that you spent working for the corporation, the value that you bring. I mean, he used example of McDonald's, for instance. He said, if you have a positive attitude and smile and are super friendly to everybody, that's already bringing value to the company because, you know, you are the face to the world, of course, because that's who the customers see. And he explained that and said, if you wear the hat, you get a dollar more because you add more value. Yes, you add to the brand, right, to the branding.
Absolutely.
And all of that adds up, and I will never forget that. You know, there's certain teachings that you just never forget, and Jim Rohn was one of those people that, you know, when he said something, sometimes I had to hear it twice, but when I finally got it, it was always so profound and so logical once you understand it, you know. It's, yeah, of course, yeah. Couldn't be anything else, you know.
Of course, Barbara.
You are definitely applying yourself in that corporation. Otherwise, you know, you wouldn't have several upgrades in such a short period of time. So congratulations, Taran.
Thank you so much.
And outside of the corporation, you have your radio show. And also, you are the visionary of your Light Network. So tell us about that.
Yes, ma'am. Well, just like you, I'm on blogtalkradio.com, and I have a weekly podcast named Twan Talk. And basically, it's just a positive weekly inspirational show where the listeners, I connect with them on a more personal level, and we talk about how to add value to our lives on many different levels, mainly personally, professionally, and spiritually. And then also outside of that, I believe, you know, in giving back, and I'm a huge proponent of you know, volunteering and participating in various global service events and community events, because I think it's very important to whom much is given, much is required, and charity most definitely begins at home, Barbara.
Definitely. Charity begins at home, very profound. That charity begins at home, for sure. And I hear sometimes that people say, yeah, I can't help all those hungry people in Africa, for instance, because that's they're in a really bad state of affairs there.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, yeah, but I can't help all of these. Yeah, but you can help one or you can help two. Do you know the story of the starfish?
No, Barbara. Would you share it with us?
Yeah. It just came to me because that fits in really well with Charity Begins at Home. There was a little boy, he went with his father along the seashore, and he saw thousands of starfish, you know, were landed on the beach, and they were dying. So the boy went and he picked up as many starfish as he could and threw them back into the sea. And his father said, what are you doing? He said, well, I am saving their lives. And the father said, yeah, but you know how many there are here? Thousands and thousands of them. You can't save all of them. And the boy looked up at his father and he said, but I can save this one.
Wow.
Isn't that a beautiful story?
That's so touching, Barbara.
Mm.
The starfish story. And it's so true.
It's so true.
Absolutely, Barbara.
And we can all help in our small or in big ways. You know, we don't have to be Bill Gates and spend billions. We can do it in our own way. We can share our time. We can share a little bit of finances if we can. We can share some food. We can share shelter, all kinds of things. And every one of us can do that.
Absolutely, Barbara. And the operative word there, and it's so beautiful how eloquently you put that, is sharing. It's collaborating. I oftentimes share with my listeners that things are best, and I feel as if life is best when it's shared. And it's truly, the best really comes out in us when we share it, when we actually allow others to shine. I personally feel it's enough room out here for everyone in the world, so why not collaborate? Why not help out in our fellow brother or sister? Why not connect? We don't necessarily need to reinvent the wheel to experience a profound level of greatness. Greatness could just simply be me lending my resources and opening up my community and my network of friends to you, Barbara, for example, so that you can have maximize those resources, and then also tap into that, and that they can be exposed to the tools and the benefits that you bring to the table.
Thank you. Yeah, and that makes a big difference. And you know, like in this story, it's not about quantity. It is about what you do, and then you give from the heart, and that whatever you say or whatever you do, it really comes from within. You mean it, and you do it because you want to do it, not because you expect something back. I remember one of my aunts, she always, when she was invited to somebody's birthday or to any event, right, she always said, oh, I've got to invite them. You know, when it was her next birthday, she said, oh, I've got to invite this one and this one and this one because they invited me to theirs. It was like, because they have given, I have to give too. And she didn't really want the people there, or when they gave a little gift or something, she always gave a bigger gift back. And I said, why are you doing that? You know, it's like you can take a gift and really appreciate it and show that person that you really appreciate it. And that's it, you know, give your appreciation. And,
wow.
And that is the biggest gift for the giver, because then they see that what they do make a difference. It's not about money or anything like that. It is that it was given from the heart and it was received from the heart. It's like a good compliment, isn't it? If somebody gives you a compliment, and many people brush compliments away, they brush them away. It's like, oh, it's nothing. Don't mention it. Hey, I want to mention it because I wanted to mention it.
Yes.
Right? I wanted to give you that gift of appreciation. And if then it's brushed away, you don't feel appreciated. And your gift does not feel appreciated.
Yes, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and the receiver also does not get the same benefits as if he would open his arms and really receive and take into his heart the gift that was given, whether it was a gift of a smile or it was a physical gift, it doesn't matter. But anything that's given to you from the heart of anybody deserves to be well received.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it's something very special about someone who knows how to really appreciate the gift of appreciation and actually be in that moment and not feel the pressure or the anxiety to, quote-unquote, return the gesture or return the favor.
Mm-hmm.
Simply accept it as wonderful and say thank you. That's great.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you said something else just now. That was be in the moment. That's so vital to happiness, to fulfillment, to be in the moment. Enjoy this moment that we get to spend together, for instance, right now. And enjoy I mean, I told you just before we started the show that I picked up my new motorbike today. God, I am so crazily happy, you know. I'm absolutely nuts. And I had to drive part of the way on the motorway, and I don't like that. You know, it's a chopper, that's for cruising, it's for going comfortably in the countryside.
Right.
Anyway, but part of the way I had to use the motorway. When I finally got off it, I was laughing out loud. You know, I was making the curves, and oh my God, what a joy. I mean, it was so much fun. And I, you know, while I was driving, on the way, it looked like rain, and I was praying. I said, please don't let it rain now. You know, let me get home safe and dry.
Yes.
And I did. And then, you know, I said thanks for every sun ray that came through the clouds. And I really meant it. It really came from the heart. I appreciated those little gifts that came along the way, that there weren't so many trucks on the motorway, you know, because that's quite horrible when you're stuck in the middle of them. And all these things that I noticed and that I really appreciated. And I want to invite our listeners to do that, to start doing that. Appreciate all the small, wonderful things that happen to you every single day of your life. And you will start to feel so much happier, so much lighter, so much, so much more in the present moment.
That's right, because truly, that's all we have, Barbara. Right now, this beautiful exchange that you're sharing with us, I was able to be blown away, and thanks for allowing me to come inside your world, because I see you on that beautiful motorbike and your hair blowing in the wind, and I am excited for you because I simply think it's fantastic.
I mean, my whole family thinks it's totally crazy, but there you go.
Yes.
I am happy, and that's all that counts in that moment, you know. I think it's just... It was such a spontaneous idea. I decided Friday night. I bought it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, that is amazing.
It just had to be. And I mean, you know, I bought it on eBay, and it could have been that there was no decent bike on that night, you know, on auction. But no, the right one was on auction. It was the right moment to do it. I found the bike that I wanted, and boom, now it's here in my garage, and I am super happy. And these are small gifts. You know, I know that some people might say, yeah, I don't have the money for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Yes, some people really don't have the money, but then they spend it on other things, you know.
Absolutely.
I never have, for instance, I don't have credit card debts ever. If I don't have the cash, then I don't go shopping.
Yes.
As easy as that. We don't have, fortunately, so much this culture of buying on credit cards. Even so, we all have credit cards, but we don't have the culture so much that we buy on debt. And it makes really sense because I see so many people, especially today, they are always in fear. They're so worried because they might lose their car, because they might lose their home, because they might lose their work. And their focus is on the fear. Their focus is on the bad that might happen instead of appreciating the moment, what still is, because they still have their house, they still have their car, they still have their job. And doing their best to keep it, you know, I mean, working towards what you want and not because of fear, because that's a negative motivation is not good. You know, fearful motivation, like I said, that's not very motivating. It doesn't keep anybody running for very long. What's your experience on that?
Yes, I mean, as a matter of fact, in my book, On the Periphery of Death, that's also available via Amazon.com, Barbara, I speak on, I actually dedicate a chapter on fear. It's actually chapter 3. And what I've discovered is a lot of things that led to the anxiety and the manifestation of my depressive episode was based on and centered around fear. And some of those things never materialize. Our worst fears sometimes never materialize. However, it's perception, and it's the what ifs, and it's the angst of just if, and then you get stuck. You get stuck like Chuck. But what I realized, Barbara, after coming out of depression, back in 2004, is my worst fears never materialized. It was all in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need not let fear hold us captive. And that's something, if I could leave the valuable listeners with anything, it is to simply reiterate our points of living in the moment and in being cognizant of what you focus on, because what you know where the attention goes is where the power flows. And so let your thoughts be positive. Let your words be pleasant. And also watch the negative self-talk, because, you know, you can speak to those thoughts. I often hear a lot of philosophers now, they call it New Age, but I always call it Now Age. It's always been around these philosophies that we are greater than our thoughts. You know, the thoughts really only have the power in which we assign it, Barbara, and we have the authority to take control of those thoughts and replace them with pleasant and lovely thoughts. As you mentioned in your book, to be or not to be, the choice is yours.
That is so very true, so very true. What we focus on expands. So if we focus on the fears, we get more of that. We get more of all the disasters that create those fears. But if we focus on the outcomes that we want, like you just said, we get more of that, you know. We get more opportunities, doors open, and we see them also, which makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Taran, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, yes, Barbara. Wow. Okay. Well, let's see here. There are many ways to get in contact with me. I would say the main way would be to Google me, Twan Allen, and they can, of course, visit your lovely host show page and see how to properly spell my name, and or they can visit me on Twitter at www.twitter.com/TwanTalk. Lastly, they can just Google my Facebook page. I'm listed under simply Twan, TAWAND.
Excellent. And, of course, they can listen to your radio show. Where can they find that, and on which days do you go live?
Oh, yes. Thanks so much, Barbara. I generally go live via blogtalkradio.com/TwanTalk on Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's between 8 a.m. and 8:30. And then also I have a weekly exclusive, generally on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then lastly, if you want to connect or just personally connect with me on a business level and want to network together, you can always email me at twanallen@gmail.com.
Excellent. Perfect timing. As you can hear, the music comes on. We're almost done.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Taran, for having a guest on my show. You know how much I appreciate you, your work, and your love for everything and everybody. I really, really appreciate you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Barbara.
You are so welcome. Speak to you soon. And next week, we are changing the day of the show because I've just started a new Toastmasters club here locally. I love Toastmasters. And so I just started a new club here locally in my local community, and that takes place on Tuesday. So my show, as of now, is going to be on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. EST or 7 p.m. German time. Next Wednesday, I have an amazing guest. His name is Art Dieser. He is from California, and Art does energetic NLP, even faster and better than the normal NLP. You don't want to miss that show. Have a wonderful week, and I see you next Wednesday. This is Barbara Hofmeister with the